Ain't no better way to start a day.
Him for it.
Ain't no better way to start a day than with prayer. And there ain't no way to finish a day than with prayer that I know of. No. Unless somebody was to get saved, that's about as good as it gets too. But praise God, I'm glad to be here today. Missed last Sunday. I don't like to start out a new year being absent from the house of God, but I was definitely sick. And I am somewhat better, and I want to thank everyone for their prayers for me. And I needed them, and I so appreciated every prayer that went up for me. It made a difference. And I'm so glad that God talked about, is there any sick among you?
Yeah.
Let them pray. And I appreciate people praying. Amen. There's always sick among us. And whenever there is, it says here, is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing psalms. Any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. If he've committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's James chapter 5. Verse 13 through 16, that sounds like we need to practice what that says. Amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the Bible says don't be a hearer only, but be a doer. Amen. And we do hear a lot of things, and we need to do a lot of things.
Yes.
And Jesus started at 12 years old telling his mother, I must be about my Father's business. I was going to preach a different message today, actually. And God changed that message, and I'm not one to contend with God. And I certainly want to be a complimentary of whatever God dictates He wants done. I just want to say, yes, Lord, whatever Your will is, that's what mine is. Amen.
That's right.
Okay, on this January the 12th, the second Sunday of this Lord's year 2020, we finished our last Sunday school lesson. Was Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 12. And we'll go ahead and read that verse again, and then we'll proceed on down. Hopefully I'll finish this chapter out. I'd like to. We're kind of running the race of patience, seem like, through Proverbs, but there is a lot of territory.
Amen.
In Proverbs. And the Word of God, that I could just have the Word of God always in my heart. Just seem like a devil so quick to steal out of my heart. And I just keep putting it back in there. Seem like he just keeps stealing it. But praise God, I'm glad we can put His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Just keep rightly dividing it. Keep letting it have its way. Keep letting it lead in the paths of righteousness. But the Bible says in Proverbs 12:12, the wicked desire the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. I think I stumbled quite a bit on that verse last time. But the wicked, they don't make good decisions.
Right.
And by not making good decisions, they're actually bringing their own mischief upon their own head. The wicked desire the net of evil men. One verse I can think of that might be in conjunction with that would be in John chapter 3, where it talked about men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest the light of God's Son... lest the light of... I've done skipped all over the place there. Hold on a minute here. Lest their deeds be reproved, I believe was the direction I went before I went brain dead. But it says, this is the condemnation, St. John chapter 3, verse 19, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light.
Right.
Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. The reason that evil men are snared by their own doings, their own mischief, is because they don't go in the right direction. The Bible talks about, even in this next chapter of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15, the way of transgressions is hard. They go the hard way. They blame God.
Right.
Every day it seems like, if God loved me, why am I having such a hard time? And the reason they're having such a hard time, they will not let God be God. But the root of the righteous yield a fruit. You know, God wants to bless everyone.
Amen.
I believe God will bless everyone.
I do too.
But He has terms about those blessings. And you can see those terms that are pretty clear right there in Psalms chapter number 1. God gives the terms for a man to be blessed. And it starts out with the word blessed. So that just tells you right there, if you want the blessing of God, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now that's the terms, I guess you could say that's a recipe for blessings. And it goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. You see, he's talking about the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit, ripe fruit. It brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf, it's important. That's a reference to health. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The next verse tells kind of like the beginning of this verse. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God puts this same truth throughout the whole Bible. The wicked desireth the net of evil men. They think, you know, like a gang. The initiation of a gang is, you know, we're a family. And a lot of young men make a mistake of joining gangs because they didn't have no family at home. And they want someone to love them. And having a desire to be loved, they choose the wrong love.
Right.
And they initiate into a gang, and they end up doing things they wouldn't normally do, and it don't excuse them. And for some reason, other people think if there's enough people doing it, it's all right. Look, the Bible says, though hand join in hand, they'll not go unpunished. But anyway, the wicked, they get in the wrong group. They desire the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yield a fruit, and it's the right fruit, and it's not rotten fruit. Amen. All right, let's get on with the lesson this morning, which actually started in verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips.
Yeah.
You know what? The wicked, he's kind of like a spider. He weaves webs of lies.
Yeah.
And they just don't, they don't let him go free. They end up entangling him, and he gets caught in his own lies. And you know, a policeman will ask someone, lots of times they'll separate two people that got caught doing something. And they'll ask them both questions about the incident.
Right.
Of course, both of them will try to lie out of it. And the policemen are able to use that really to maybe get the truth of the matter. But they're snared by their own lips. They can't tell the truth. And their lies ends up being a snare to them. But the just shall come out of trouble. And I've been pulled over before. And you know what? I hadn't done nothing wrong. I wasn't guilty. I just listened to the radio this week and they gave that testimony about me picking up that boy as I was going to pick up a friend up in Indiana. And I pulled over on the side of the road, having prayer with this boy, and gave him some money and gave him a sausage and biscuit and gave him a Coke and was praying that God would help him to make it home to his family in Lexington. Got done praying, saw blue lights in my rearview window or my rearview mirror, and the policeman right standing right beside me with his hand on his gun. I said, "Officer, I'm just praying for this boy. I'm just trying to get him home. I hadn't done anything wrong. I had nothing to fear." But you know, the wicked, they can't do that.
Right.
They know they're in trouble. They know that you know, there's a chance of them getting arrested. There's a chance of them getting incarcerated. And they take those chances time and time again. But the just shall come out of trouble. You remember Joseph, Potiphar's wife, accused him of trying to lay with her. He hadn't done nothing wrong.
No.
And when he fled, she laid hold on his garment and she said, "Look, I got his garment." And she had tokens that made him look guilty. And maybe even Potiphar, to some degree, believed that he was guilty. But I'll tell you what, God knew he hadn't done nothing wrong.
Right.
And all it done was got him exalted. He ended up being second in line to Pharaoh. The fruit of the righteous yield of fruit. His own brothers sold him into slavery. And he told them, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God has His way in all of our lives. And I'll tell you what, when a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You don't have no enemies.
That's right.
That's pretty good, too. I like that. All right. It says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. You know, a reputation is a good thing. And it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. If a man has a good reputation, he'll have the praise of others. They'll say, I'll tell you one thing about that man. He won't lie to you. You can put some trust in what he says. And if he says he'll come, he'll be there. And I'll tell you what, if you get in to fix it, he'll fix it right. And all that right there. And the fruit of his mouth and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Your reputation is kind of like that recompense. It'll follow you all through life. I've heard people say that man ain't fit for nothing. Yeah. You can't trust him with nothing.
Yeah.
Whatever you give him, he'll break it. I mean, all the way through. And that was kind of true in my life for a long time.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, praise God, those are behind me. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press toward those things that are ahead, looking unto Jesus. Amen. But it goes on to say, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. We're going to spend just a little while right here.
Yeah.
But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. What's the difference between a fool and he that hearkeneth unto counsel? Now, one of them, he's just not going to listen to anything you tell him.
Right.
The other one's going to give some thought to it. Now, kind of like the world, everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the last verse of the book of Judges said every man done that which was right in his own eyes. That don't make it right.
No.
But at the time, it appeared right. And you know, the Bible says for us not to compare ourselves one with another. Yeah, I don't need to compare yourself to me. I don't need to compare myself to you. But my pastor put the best comparison I ever heard in my life. He said, if any of us can walk up here alongside Jesus and say we're as righteous as He is, he said, then you can say you've been accepted in the beloved, because he said that's how righteous you have to be to go to heaven.
Right.
But you know, some people won't receive that saying. Some people, they refuse counsel. You can't help them. And I don't give up on them. My wife, she kind of straightened me out on that one day about casting pearls before swine. I can pray for them. I can come back later and see if anything's changed, stuff like that. But the way of a fool's right in his own eye. He says, well, I just don't see it like that. You kind of see that in Nicodemus there in John chapter number 3. I mean, he is having quite a conversation. He might not have understood, but he was having quite a conversation there. Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? See, that didn't make no sense to Nicodemus. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You notice Jesus didn't even spend any time answering his question. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee. He said, in other words, I'm talking to you, Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Right.
Now the world, they just don't get that. That's over their head. But except you be born again, Jesus said down here in verse number. Oh, I guess I read that verse 7. Jesus said, except you be born again, you ain't going. I'm bewildered here. Wait just a minute there. Okay. Except you be born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. What he said up in verse number 3. Actually, I had something else in mind here. thought left me too. But Jesus had a conversation here with Nicodemus, and you can tell Nicodemus didn't really perceive what Jesus was trying to tell him, and yet he did get it, because he was one of those disciples that served the Lord, but out of fear for the Jews, he kind of did it discreetly. He was kind of undercover, but he showed up at the tomb with Joseph of Arimathea. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, they took and begged the body of Jesus. They embalmed it, put it in the tomb. They weren't ashamed then. But you can tell he did receive the Lord. But a way of a fool is right in his own eyes. They'll argue with a fence post. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. God, yeah, we got a little late this morning. Sure. God offers good counsel. Yeah, God offers good counsel. Matter of fact, he's a mighty counselor. His word is the best counselor that I know of. And God has counseled me more than once from the Word of God. Well, I can't find nothing this morning. Here we go. In Isaiah chapter 7, says he, "For unto us a child is born," verse 6, "unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, I know nobody likes the government, but when you got the right government, you're going to like it.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be right. There ain't going to be no corruption. I don't like corruption. And I've noticed here lately a lot of corruption showing up. You can just hide so much, and pretty soon it gets a smelling and it shows up. And a lot of that's going on even right now. And my confidence is not in Trump. I'll tell you right now. I'll just tell you this. If God put him there, he'll stay there. And if God didn't put him there, he won't be there in 2020. But I do believe God did put him there. I can't think of no one else could do the job that he's doing.
No,
and that speaks volumes about him. And evidently, he's a whole lot cleaner than anybody gave him credit for, because they've put him through the gauntlet.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I can't think of any trick they've not thrown at him.
That's right.
And so far, he's still standing. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but even Iran's fixing to have a regime change.
Yeah.
Buddy,
that's something.
That's something. China getting ready to make a deal.
Yeah.
North Korea, he might be upset. But I'll tell you what, he's made more headway with Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, than anybody else has.
Yeah.
And this recent episode with, I can't say the guy's name, Somali, whatever his name is, that got off that airplane at Baghdad and that was it. I think they sent him a text, "You want fries with this drone strike?" But anyway, make a long story short, he didn't go no further.
No.
I do believe God's using this man, our president, and I've heard about this through the grapevine to some degree. But there are a multitude of preachers that go to Washington just to lay hands on him, to pray over him, that God will give him the wisdom to lead this country in the direction it needs to go in.
Yeah.
And I know he's not for sale, because he's forfeited his wages. He don't take no money.
Right.
And like I said, my confidence is not in him. My confidence is in God.
Right.
But if God did put him there, he'll get the job done he was sent there to do.
Right.
All right, let me get off of that. They always get on me about being political. Sometimes I can't help it.
You know, that one tape you was talking about, them going to the White House. That one tape you gave me, that man, his family goes there, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I tell you why, he's a good preacher.
Yeah.
They nitpick at everything he does.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say. We've got a lot of corruption in our government.
At least they couldn't blow.
And let me put it this way.
Missile blowing up.
Think about it like this.
Right.
there was a lot of corruption in religion until Jesus showed up.
Amen. Right. That's right.
And since he showed up and he wasn't like them, he made them look bad.
Yeah.
And they kept blaming him. And wanting to stone him, wanting to get rid of him. They couldn't wait till he is gone. Well, that's kind of the same episode going on with this president we got right now, because he's not like them, and that makes them look bad.
Yeah.
There's so many people involved in the corruption in our government, it's kind of hard to serve notice on it because there's so many involved. I mean, even the judges, even the lawyers, even the FBI. I mean, it's such a deep corruption that I don't know how you get rid of it. But I'm glad, praise God, the government's going to be on Jesus' shoulder. It's going to be a good government. There's going to be peace. The lamb's going to lie down with the lion. And a little child is going to be able to lead, a child shall lead the, what was it, the wild beast or something like that. I'm looking forward to that kind of government. Amen. Let me see if I can find my way back to where we was. I think we're still on verse 15. The way of a fool's right in his own eyes. You're not going to convince him otherwise, but God can. I used to be one of them fools.
That's right. Me too.
I was a big fool. And that verse 16 talks about a fool's laugh. It cost you something to converse with me. Everybody was afraid to talk to me. Thank God for a little 8-year-old boy come in his drunk daddy's bedroom that Sunday morning. Put me in a predicament that I needed to be in.
Yeah.
Walked up to a drunk 200-pound fool and said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today?"
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
I didn't like it then, but looking back on it, that was exactly what I needed. In the mirror of God, I finally got to see the real Eddie Wade. In Eddie Wade's mirror, I looked as good as everybody else looked. But I'll tell you what, in the mirror of God, I saw myself lost and undone.
Amen.
I saw myself in need of a Savior. I'm glad he wasn't very far from me. Took him a little while. Probably took me a little while rather than him a little while. He's ready to save me right then.
Right.
But the preparation of the heart, the Bible says, of the Lord. But verse 16, a fool's wrath. I was mad. I was even mad that the way your boy asked me to go to church with him that day. There wasn't nothing I could do about it. It was unfair, Sharon.
Right.
Why didn't some 200-pound man come there and ask me? We'd have had an ear missing. But you see, that was belittling.
Right.
A little 8-year-old boy. He's bigger than me now. And the same God that used him, I have to get somebody else to get him where he got me. Amen. I guess that was his mission on earth, then.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you right now, buddy, he done a good job. Woo! Fool's wrath is presently known. I had a reputation of being quite a contender. I had a lot of people try to talk to me about my soul, about eternity. And they all learned the hard way, you'd be better off just leave me alone. Sarcasm was probably one of my qualities, I guess. But a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Some men will conceal a matter. Some men, you know, Joseph, he concealed the matter that Mary was with child. He didn't put her in open shame. Matter of fact, the angel told him, "Fear not to take Mary to be thy wife, for the thing formed in her is of the Holy Ghost." But you know, the world today, they might not have been like Joseph. Can you imagine Jesus being born in this day? First of all, he'd been aborted. Second of all, how could they ever find any parents, you know, that were like Mary and Joseph, the perfect parents to raise up the Christ child? Mary submitted, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." And Joseph took her to be his wife and was a great husband and a great, I guess you could say, a stepfather to Jesus, because his father was the Holy Ghost of God. But a prudent man, he doesn't go out and say, guess what I seen Eddie doing?
Yeah.
You know what he does? He says, Lord, help him.
Yeah.
He's struggling.
Yeah, he is.
Prudent man comes, says, isn't that dude help you? He offers a hand.
Is that the song, Brother Eddie, go and tell Jesus on me?
Yeah, Rick's brother used to sing that song. I love to hear that.
You are my brother. Don't go tell another.
Hey, amen, Sister Bonnie. Prudent man, yeah. Cover of shame. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's a good quality too.
Yeah.
My mama used to say, and bless her memory, she said, if you ain't got something good to say about somebody, then just keep your mouth shut.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
She said, just keep your mouth shut if you ain't got something good to say about somebody. Boy, she was nurturing something there that we need more of today.
Yeah.
You know, everybody seemed like they cut people down. And I don't know. You know, if we're going to know us in there about, let's just know us about Jesus in the house like he did in Mark chapter 2. But some people, they'll just... what do you call it? Murmur or make a reputation. It might not even be necessarily true. I used to be one of them too. I found out later on what I was promoting wasn't true. That's bad, ain't it? Somebody told me something that wasn't true and I went out and spread all over the place and man, it wasn't good. All right. I'm more of a prudent man now. He that speaketh truth, verse 17, showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness, deceit. I'd rather be known for speaking truth than to be known from a false witness and deceit. You know, your reputation is going to be one or the other. You're either going to have a reputation of being someone that's upright, that fears God, eschews evil, or you're going to have the reputation of someone that says that person's unpredictable. They'll tell you they love you to the face and tell you they hate your guts behind your back. Verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Now, I want us to read Psalms chapter 64 real quick, just with that verse in mind, because I was directed there this morning, and I was only going to read one verse out there, but I looked in and I thought, we're going to read it all. So I'm going to read Psalms chapter 64. 10 verses there,
right.
Just in lieu of this verse here. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of lying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out all iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow suddenly. Shall they be wounded, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall widely consider of His doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory.
Yeah.
So people will take words and they'll make them like arrows, and they'll try to injure you or hurt you with words.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, buddy. Life, let's see, the power of life and death in the tongue. It took me a minute to get that verse there. I told y'all this. I'll tell it one more time, then we'll move on. A man had a bad day at work. And he come home, and we all do this. He come home with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder from the bad day at work he had. And his young daughter met him at the door to give him a hug, and he took out all his frustrations on this little girl, and her shoulders weren't wide enough to handle it. And she ran out the door and jumped off of an interstate overpass and lost her life as she fell down the hood of a car coming down the interstate. And the woman driving that car said, "I'll never forget that sight as long as I live." And you see, he could have been a little bit better with his words. He could have said, "Honey, I've had a bad day. I love you. Give me a minute." But see, he just unloaded on that little girl. That's why it's so important to study before you answer someone. Don't just be rash with your word. That's one trait my pastor has that I wished I could say belonged to me too. But he's able to, I don't know, he's able to study, and he's able to speak rightly. But he that speaketh, let's see, there is a speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Man, I'm trying to remember where I was there. I guess it was verse 19. I guess it was 18.
Yeah.
Because I was talking about the power of life and death in a tongue. Yeah. That's right. Let's go to verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever. I'll tell you right now, words that men speak, Jesus said they'll be held accountable of in the day of judgment.
Amen.
That was the message my pastor preached the day I got saved. Because I had a filthy mouth. And I mean, it's kind of like Boy Rocky hit this dog pretty good. I yelled out. I'll tell you right now. It was my role. And he done a good job. Had God on him. And I got under conviction that day. I didn't get saved, but I got under conviction that day. I knew for sure I was in trouble. I knew for sure I needed to get saved. And it didn't take long to get saved, but I didn't get saved that day. But I think it was the next day I got saved. And I come on a Wednesday night to tell him I got saved. And they said, when I come through the door, they knew I was saved. I was definitely different. Before I could get it out, he said, "You got saved, didn't you?" But the lip of truth shall be established forever. God, Jesus, I believe it's John 17, verse 17. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And that is true. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. And the lip of truth shall be established forever. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And God, not only is it impossible for Him to lie, and His word is truth, but He preserved His word from this generation forever. He exalted His word above all His name. And something about heaven. Magnified it above heaven, I think. Well, anyway, that lip of truth shall be established forever. This word's not going nowhere. It's truth. Now, a lot of men have come up against this word. And their graves tell a story that they was unsuccessful. You can't overthrow truth with a lie. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. They have graves to mark how foolish they spent their lives trying to overthrow truth. Truth is as solid as the rock of Gibraltar, if that is such a thing. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. And there's some people, they just can't receive truth. Pilate looked truth right in the face and said, "What is truth?" And a lot of Pilates out there. All right, verse 20. Let me see. I'm somehow going to finish this. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Now that deceitfulness of the heart of evil men, it's the thing like cancer that won't let them do right.
Right.
It keeps them from doing right. They have a disadvantage, so to speak, there. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. It's like the devil has a hold on them. But to the counselors of peace is joy. I'll take joy. over evil, over deceit any day. And I thank God for the peace of God. I thank God that He is a counselor of peace. Every time I've read this book, I've been encouraged. I've been instructed. I've been strengthened. I've been corrected. Probably a good time to read this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. I've been corrected. Oh yeah. For instruction in righteousness. I was driving down the road one time, and for many years, all I did was listen to the Bible driving down the road. I mean, I had the King James Bible on tape, and I'd be driving down the road, and I'm kind of with them, you know. And sometimes, Alexander Scorby would read a scripture, and I'd pull the truck over. I'd done like they did there in Acts 17:11. I searched to see whether it's so or not. And there was a few times, Sharon, that I thought I was right, and Alexander Scorby was wrong. And I found out God was right every single time. This took me a little bit there, but I got it.
Yeah.
But you know, I said, that can't be right. Pull that truck over. I said, I get that little Bible out, and sure enough, let God be true and let any way be a liar.
That's right.
But to the counselors of peace is joy. And God wants us to have peace.
Yes.
And there ain't no, you can't go to Walmart and buy peace. You can't go to your neighbor and borrow peace. There's only one that can give you peace. And if He does give you peace, you've got peace. I'm telling you right now, I've got oceans of peace. I could be a peace donor, Carolyn. I could go and donate peace. I say, here, take some of this peace out and give it to them so they know what peace is all about. We've got peace that passes understanding. Verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just. Everybody, they tend to observe how things go with people. They do. Now, when I first got saved, this might not have been true, but I entertained the thought that there was a lot of people watching me hoping that I'd go back to drinking.
Right.
Yeah. I think they kind of wondered, Vonnie, how long is he going to be on the wagon?
Yeah. Right.
And I do know that we are a gazing stock. I know the world looks on us, and they might not take note we've been to Jesus, but it ought to add up to that. But they watch. One day I was at work. I learned a lot of things the hard way. But I was at work, and I had this guy working with me, and he's an atheist. And he's right there. He's my assistant, pressman. He's right there. I had another assistant, pressman. His name was Neil Purcell, black guy, big old boy. And they're right there, and I had Joe Stone, and I had Bruce Bell, which just passed away, and I had a... Come on, Eddie. Lord. I'm pretty sure it took Barbie there. And one more. Kirk Nunn. So here I am with all these guys standing there and I'm working on this press, Jerry. It ain't working right and I hit it with a hammer. And I take God's name in vain right in front of these men. When that come out of my mouth, I'm kind of like Peter. I couldn't believe that that came out of my mouth. And I dropped that hammer, and I fell down right in front of those men. I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I said, please forgive me for those words that come out of my mouth just now. Help me to never do that again. I'm expecting them men to laugh at me to scorn, and I'm expecting to be heckled. Every one of those men, that made such a difference in them. I'm almost glad it did happen.
Yeah.
It showed them how real it was. Yeah. It took off some of the veneer of something they needed to see. I wasn't perfect. I was just forgiven. Even that atheist guy came to me and told me, Jerry, he said, I want to believe. I've been raised to be an atheist. I so want to believe. I said, you don't have any options here. His name was Phil. I said, you don't have any option here, Phil. I said, you got to believe. I said, apart from that, you ain't going to make it. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved.
Yeah.
Receive Him by faith, you can be saved. But those men, man, of course Chuck, he was praying for me. He was the strongest Christian crew member I had, Chuck Barbie. Joe Stone, he's the biggest sarcastic on the flesh anybody could ever ask for. He always made a joke out of everything.
Yeah.
Even Joe Milton. Kurt Nunn was second in line behind him. But here, atheist. And I went to Neil Purcell's mother's funeral. He went to my mother's funeral. He was one of her pallbearers. We loved each other. We put up with each other. We hadn't loved each other. He broke me in half if I hadn't loved him. But he's a good boy. But all those men, their lives grew a whole lot closer to God because of that incident right there. There shall no evil happen to the just. We're no better than nobody else. Don't the Bible say God calls it to rain on the
just
and the unjust?
Yeah.
There shall no evil happen to the just. You know, they see these things happen and they think God ought to make a difference. We're not no better than nobody else.
No.
I'm just forgiven, just saved. I just know one day when all the dust is gone, I'll be in heaven, amen, kicking up gold dust. But there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. You see, that wicked, he's on a slippery path. And I didn't mention this earlier, but in the next chapter, Proverbs 13:15, says the way of transgressors is hard. He's on that hard path. Or she is. And you can't convince them that God has something better in mind for them.
Right.
And you know, even Israel couldn't receive their Messiah. And it's kind of sad that the commentary God gives about Israel and about all the patriots that died before us, that God says this. I hope I can find this. In Hebrews chapter 11, let me read a few things here real quick. What shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to the flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, listen to this, receive not the promise. Listen to this next verse. God having provided some better thing for us that they without us should not be made perfect. God had something better in mind for us.
Yeah,
it's called grace.
Yeah,
and it's called salvation. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 through 40. That's what I say. The wicked, they just don't understand that the goodness of God should lead them to repentance. It may not do it, but it should do it. Verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. You know, one of the things that God heard, one of the six things God hates is a lying tongue, and seven is abomination to Him. But here it is again. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. They that deal truly are His delight. Wouldn't it be great if we just never told another lie?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if we done everything right in the sight of God, man? Man, we just did everything right. Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's what God had in mind. That's why Jesus had to die for all. Not some, but for all. Verse 23, a prudent man concealeth not knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. You know, prudent man, I'm not going to say he won't entertain the thought, but he won't act on it. Let me say it like that. He might, you know, here's probably a good example right here. Noah, all one spared. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and got his family in the ark. Rick said, I'll tell you one thing about Noah. He got his family in the ark. He said, that's more than he said about us. But he got Miss Noah. He got Shem, Ham, and Japheth in the ark and their wives. And eight souls were spared and everybody else perished. And after the flood and the judgment of God was over, Noah planted the vineyard, got drunk, got naked, and fell asleep. And his younger son, Ham, come in there and saw the nakedness of his father. Went and told his two brothers that their father was laying in there drunk and naked. And they got a garment and they backed in there and covered their father up. And when Noah finally woke from his drunkenness, he cursed his younger son, Ham. And he blessed his other two sons. But you know what? Ham, he could have done like Shem and Japheth did. Prudent man concealeth knowledge. Instead of going telling his two brothers what he saw, he should have covered his dad's neck and his son. That's sad to have a dad like that. But the Bible said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
Yeah.
See, God ain't... Oh, Lord. He ain't never really had no pedigrees to work with. There's a few in there, yeah. There's a few. Most of them just callous sinners. Pitiful tools for anyone to have to use. Yet God did use them. Prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim foolishness. They just spread it further. They stir it up, try to keep it going. Got to get with it here. I do want to finish this chapter. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. I mean, this guy, he's busy. He's having some success. But the slothful should be under tribute. The slothful, he don't raise a finger for nothing. And he's in trouble. So he don't have no means of paying his tribute. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pinches of silver. It's good every now and then to have something spoken to you at the right time, in the right spirit, something you need. It'll give you something to go on.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times somebody spoke a word to me, and it was exactly what I needed, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
Man, I had to hug their neck. I said, I needed that.
Yeah.
There's been a few times, Jerry, that somebody said something to me, and I kind of wish they just kept it to themselves. You know what I mean? It didn't bring a lot of joy. But I'll tell you, buddy, make your words matter. A good word makes the heart glad. Pretty much what it says there. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Now, I want to be a good neighbor. Jesus said, love your neighbor. And somebody wrote a song, and he talked to your neighbor about God. Brother Gary, I can't think of his last name. Brother Gary Crumpton wrote a song, have you talked to your neighbor about God? Gary's done graduated this life. But the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. So you're either going to be a stumbling block or you're going to be a stepping stone
right.
to your neighbor. Let's just take, for instance, Bonnie. She's trying to live for God. And she's got a neighbor moved in over there, and they've got it cranked up, man. I mean, She says, I've about had enough of this. I don't like the music. I don't like how loud it is. And she says she's going to sell her house and move. Then they pray she gets this another house, Carolyn, and they got the gospel music playing. She goes over and says, turn that up a little bit. That's my kind of singing, amen. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Man, the Lord's here this morning. I had no idea I was going to say that. Righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man, I think about this verse a lot, I do. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. I think about that a lot. There's been a few times that I've thought twice about shooting something. Morning, Sister Joanne.
Hey.
I was praying for you this morning. You're looking good.
There
have been a few times they got to go by without getting shot because I took some thought to it. I didn't feel like skinning them. I thought, I'm not real sure that I would even eat it if I shot it. So, if you're going to kill something, eat it.
That's right.
Everything's made to be received with thanksgiving and with praise. Nothing's unclean to us. I know they want to try strain gnats and swallow camels. I can take you to Colossians and show you you can eat anything you want to eat. You might not live very long. I mean, I have to agree. If I was to eat a country ham today, I'd come in here and my head would probably be swelled and busted.
Yeah.
And my heart would probably be, I don't know, exploded by now. Oh, I still got the red streak on my nose. That's why I eat a steak that thick of the day, a big baked potato. I knew better than eat it, Jerry. I mean, I knew it. I've had leg cramps all night long, you know. Walking around like Vegas, not like this. It worked. I brought a big old ribeye steak. I called my wife. I said, what do you think about steak? She said, sound pretty good to me, honey. I got four steaks for $30 and I cooked them things real good. I put her in charge of baked potatoes. I paid the price for it. But I'll tell you what, it's worth it. You see what I mean? Like Rick said, why worry about what you eat? Live 2 more weeks in a nursing home. If you're going to live, enjoy it, amen. There ain't nothing that I can't eat. It's just I feel the effects of it after I eat it, amen. All right. There's some people, don't eat that. Don't touch that. You can find that mentioned there in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. But the substance of a diligent man is precious. He takes care of everything he's got. And he's always got everything he needs. This is the last verse. We'll stop right here. In the way of righteousness is life. And in the pathway thereof, there is no death. I don't like death. I wish there were no such thing as death. Jesus come down here to give his life a ransom, to conquer death. Old song says he tore the bar. I say he tore the bars away. I believe it's where it goes. Up from the grave he arose.
Yeah.
With a mighty triumph over his foes he arose. He arose. Victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He got up. That's nothing, didn't
he? That's right.
They made a big ado, but they're still there. He left behind an empty tomb, God. That makes all the difference in the world, amen. Alright, we'll stop right there. I can't sing a lick, but it sure did feel good to try. Hallelujah.
You did a good job.